phrase I didn't catch the first time. Something about, I'll see you in heaven, you know? Be looking for you. Ethel Waters has touched my life because she sings about our God and our Savior. She came from a wounded and broken background. Her mom was raped when she was 13 years old. And the result of that rape was Ethel Waters. And her mom decided to keep that little baby. And that little baby was born. And God watched over she and her mom and their family. And God, at one point, grabbed a hold of that person's life and saved her and redeemed her and healed that wounded and broken person and raised her up to be a mighty voice of God that millions of people got to hear and be encouraged by. What God can do in wounded and broken people's lives. In John chapter 20, we come to this woman. Her name is Mary Magdalene. And there are all kinds of, the gospel writers talk about Mary. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all talk about Mary. And I think she has a similar story, not the same background, but a similar kind of broken story. And, you know, when we get all done with this, I just want to tell you that we are all wounded and broken in some way, and God gets a hold of us, and He gives value, and He loves, and He heals, and He forgives, and He puts the Spirit of God in us, and it changes our lives. You've sensed it, right? You know that He does. So I'm going to read from John chapter 20. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to ask you, if you can, to stand with me and read this passage. It is, of course, as we found in John 20 at the resurrection, and we're going to then focus on Mary. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran and she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter there went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?'" Can you imagine angels talking to you? "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. And she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Oh, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. God, we thank you. Thank you for the fact that you are the one that takes wounded and broken people and redeems them and heals them and loves them and uses them. And thank you, God, that that's what you do in our lives. And Father, I pray as we look at Mary's life that there'd be some application and some almost relief as we think of what, God, you have done and are continuing to do in our soul. Father, I thank you for your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just like to say that when Mary was at the tomb and she looked in, and then it says she was weeping, and then she turned around after the angel said it, and Jesus was standing there, and he said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And I think of all the times when we might be weeping over something, and maybe in life we kind of turn, and someone says, "Why are you weeping?" And you just think how close Jesus was to her in her greatest pain, and how close Jesus is to us in our greatest pain. Thank you, Lord, for that. So we have. I just kind of found it helpful to me to list the story, and it's amazing in those few verses how many things are actually said, how many things are talked about. So we have the crucifixion and the tomb and the burial that has all taken place. The third day has arrived. It's now the first day of the week. It's Sunday morning. And Mary runs to the tomb, and when she gets there, she's concerned about the stone, that the big rolled stone is still in the way, and how will she anoint his body? And she gets there, and the stone is moved away. She doesn't know how yet. And then she comes. She's actually come there prepared to anoint. And a lot of these things just indicate to me how sensitive Mary is and what has happened in her life and how she invests in Jesus, and how she has been changed, and her life is now to serve him. So you got the third day, the stoning, it's the first day of the week, and she comes when it's dark. It's still dark outside when she heads out to the tomb. And then the mystery, the fact that Jesus' body is gone. She's come there. She watched him die, and she's come to the tomb to anoint his body, and his body is gone. So then after that, she runs. She runs to tell the disciples. She finds all the disciples, and she says to them, "His body is gone." And Peter and John are stirred up, and they decide they're running to the tomb. And when she first told them, they didn't believe. It says that there was an unbelief. Peter and John race to the tomb. They find it empty. And then it says, John, when he looked in, he believed. Maybe he remembered all the words that Jesus had said before that, and it says, he believed. And then after he believed, it's interesting to me, I put the retreat home. It's peculiar. The disciples come, and they run to the tomb. They find it empty. John believes, and it says the disciples go home. But Mary doesn't go home. She stays at the tomb. And this time, there's the second time, Mary is at the tomb, and then she's weeping. And she's weeping over probably the whole thing. You can imagine her emotions. And then the angels speak to her. She peeks into the tomb. And when she's peeking into the tomb, there are two angels, one at the feet and one at the head where Jesus laid. And it says that the angel says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Well, we know why. But they say, "Why are you weeping?" And she says, "They have taken away my Lord." And the angel says, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And so So you have the weeping and the angels, and then these sweet words, just as he said, the angel says to Mary, just as he said, he has risen and is alive. And so then she turns, and there's this first appearance, and I think it's precious that Jesus chooses, in the sovereignty of God, chooses that Mary Magdalene would be the one that he appears to. And we have this first appearance of Jesus. And she turns and she sees him, and she supposes him to be who? The gardener. And she says, sir, if you have taken away my Lord, please tell me where you have put him, and I will go and take care of him. I will bring him back. And I put the cloaking. She doesn't recognize Jesus. She doesn't see him. A sovereign inability to perceive that this is Jesus. And then he says her name, Mary. And she recognizes him. And then he says to her, don't cling to me, because I need to ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And it's interesting, I don't think anywhere else in Scripture it talks about this or describes it further about the ascension. But what Jesus needed to do was go from that moment, ascend to the Father, and then come back. And it says later that night, he appears to the disciples. And there's one disciple missing. His name is Thomas. And he appears to them, and then you know the whole story of Thomas. So Jesus has to ascend to the Father and back. But before Jesus goes, he says to her, I've got a job for you to do, Mary. Go, tell the disciples that I have risen. And then there's this urgency that Mary has, and this blessing that she really, I think, is blessed to receive, and that God has sent her on a mission. And God has sent us on a mission. So those are just kind of the events of the story that took place. So what I'd like to do is kind of focus on the life of Mary for a minute. So here's what I call this. This is a message about God's transforming people, followers transformed by the love of God. This is a message about Jesus. If you think about it, it's all about him. Crucifixion, burial, resurrection, the changing, the transforming of Mary's life. So it's a message about Jesus, about a follower of Jesus, transformed by Jesus, about a person humbled, changed, now living for Jesus. It's about a person sold out to Jesus, no matter what the cost. Mary of Magdala. So here's her story. She's a broken woman, made whole, and precious to Jesus. You know, if I was to just stop and talk for a minute, I just want to tell you, Mary was precious to Jesus, and you are precious to Jesus. I really think that's the underlying tone of this whole message, is that you are precious to Jesus. He loves you. He cares about you. He did everything for you. People have said in years past, you know, if you were the only one on earth, he would have died for you. So, Mary's life. What we find is in the Gospels, there are these little different phrases in the portions of Scripture, and sometimes Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, they kind of say them a little bit differently. But I'm just going to unfold this pretty quickly and then and pray for us. So, first of all, is kind of the faith and rescue of Mary Magdalene. It says, now when he arose on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. And Luke says, out of whom he had cast seven demons. I just want you to get a little bit of picture of who Mary Magdalene was. Now, we have other passages of Scripture where demons are talked about. Demons are very real beings. There is Satan, and there is kind of his henchmen, his realm of servants called demons, and they pester people. They attack people. They work in people's souls. They bring discontentment and discouragement, and they take away joy, and they tempt, and they do all these things that we see in Scripture. And there are two passages primarily that I looked at. One is this man in Gadara. You remember Jesus and the disciples went to Gadara, and they found a man who was crazy. He was in the tombs and he was chained. And you see this man who, and he has, remember how many? He has a legion of angels that, yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you. Demons. The wrong word there. Appreciate that. And so he has this legion of demons that are just tormenting him. And God, Jesus, cast those out. And then it says he was clothed and in his right mind. Just think of how the demons affect. And then we have this other story where there's, in Mark 9, where there's a man who has a son who is just impaired by this demon. And he is, throwing him in the fire. And this boy is can't communicate with other people. And Jesus comes and he heals him and he casts the demon out. And this young boy is restored. So when it says that Mary Magdalene was a person in whom seven demons were cast out, I think this woman was, I mean, I don't even know how to describe her. She may have appeared normal. She may have had a great difficulty with different things. She may have, I don't know. But what I know is when he cast those out, there was a freedom that came in her life and it changed her around. She realized the power of God and what Jesus could do in her life. It says in verse 10, she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. So this is back to the morning of the resurrection. And verse 11, and when they heard that it was that he was alive and that had been seen by her, they did not believe. Now, it's interesting. I don't know why they didn't believe. Maybe it was just because they didn't believe Jesus could come back from the dead. Maybe it was because they had less respect for women. I don't know. But I God chose her and God used her and God valued her. And he values us. So the next part in Luke chapter 8, I just wrote Mary was saved, valued, healed, invited, serving, and blessed. And I just want to say that's the same way God thinks about you. And it's the same invitation that God gives you. It's what we're called to at Pioneer Bible Church. We are saved people. We've been broken and wounded. And God has saved us. He values you. He has healed you. He's invited you to serve with him. Now you're serving and blessed. In verse 2, right in the middle, it says, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene is one of those out of whom had come seven demons. And I will just, in verse 3, where the underline, it says, and there was Joanna, and then Herod's servant, Susanna, and many others who provided for him out of their substance. Let me just comment on that, that these women who God had healed and God had given freedom, they've now followed Jesus and believed in him. Something changed. These women now had new purpose, new hope. They seemed to be unafraid of the worldly things that they may have been afraid of. And these they actually came, and it says that they provided for the ministry of Jesus and the disciples. We don't know how, it really doesn't tell us, but you kind of assume that they maybe prepared meals and walked with them and ministered to them. And it says they did that out of their own provisions, transforming people's lives. The next passage is in Mark chapter 15. And I just want to say Mary was there in the agony, no matter the cost. Mary Magdalene had been wounded and broken. She'd been healed by Christ. And once that happened, she followed him, no matter the cost. Do you remember at the scene of the trial, and as the disciples were put into the heat of the moment, what the disciples did, the male disciples, they all ran, all of them. Mary did not, and the women did not. Praise God. Man, what a boldness, what a courage that they had. Here we are. Jesus cried out with a loud voice. He's on the cross. He breathed his last. You remember the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Even the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last. That man said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Well, there also were women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. You just see this faithfulness of these healed people who had come to Christ and believed in him, following him. It's a picture of where Mary Magdalene had been and now where she's at. Then the next description, if you go to the next slide for me, Matthew chapter 27. I just asked, why would Mary endanger herself in these perilous events? So let me just ask you, why would Mary endanger herself? Why would we endanger ourselves if life gets hard, if testimony gets hard? She'd been changed. Whew. Transformed. New heart, new purpose, new goals, new joy, new hope. Man, here we have this, so verse 54 says, the centurion, all that was happening. And verse 55, the women who followed Jesus, ministering to him, were looking from afar. It's the same verse, among whom were Mary Magdalene and the others. Wow. Okay, and then the next passage in John 19. I just want to show you that Mary at the cross now moves from the time of the accusation and the trial and all of this stirring up that's happening with the Romans and the Jewish chief priests and so on. They go to Golgotha and they're standing at the cross, and you see Mary coming alongside the family. Mary is coming alongside the family, and it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Man, how this scene must have been for Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she's standing there. Her son is in agony. It says, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And that's when he asks John to please take care of his mom. So here we are, Mary at the cross with the family. The next one, please. And then in Mark 16, I mean, they've gone through all of this emotion and all of these scenes and everything that's happened. Jesus has not risen from the dead yet in this passage. It says, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and these others brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. And I just want to say, I praise God for you early risers. Those of you that like my wife, who is up before the sun comes up. You think of the preparation. First, the emotion that all these ladies have been through. Ladies and men, but they'd all been through it. And then they come before dawn, prepared to anoint the body of Jesus. So they have made preparation. All these things that have been ointments and salves that have been that are traditionally applied to a body that has died. And they come in the dark to the tomb to take care of Jesus' body. I just see a tenderness about Mary Magdalene, that the change that has happened in her life, the discontent and maybe the depression and maybe the discouragement and the stuff that she'd gone through, harboring seven demons, and then the freedom that Christ gives her, and then the surrender and the commitment to Jesus afterward. It's like, Lord, help me to be a little bit like Mary Magdalene. Okay, the next one. And then in Mark 16, Mary is chosen to spread the news. The angel said, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Now, go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. And what's her response in verse 8? They went quickly. They did the job. And by the way, at this point now, it says that there were more women there than just Mary Magdalene. You see, God takes broken people of all genders, and he heals them. He changes us from the inside out. He gives us hope. and our lives we live for him. Let's go to the next one. Almost done. And then Mary was there as a witness of the living Christ. You know, in the first part of Acts, now Jesus has ascended to heaven, and he has gone to the Father, and we're left. The disciples are left to do a job. And here the disciples are left, and they're gathering together. And Mary Magdalene is not mentioned in this list, but I believe that she was there. And it says this. It says, when they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's walk, when they had entered, they went up to the upper room, into the upper room where they were staying. And then he lists all the disciples. All the disciples are there. And then at verse 14 at the bottom, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. What a precious gathering of people who have now experienced all of these things. And now it's like, oh, Lord, give us strength for what's next. I'm thinking the same thing. Lord, give us strength for what's next. You know, people ask me about our ministry at Pioneer Bible Church. We've gone through some seasons, some changes in the last few months. And what I tell people is, man, it's just like you can't wait for what the next thing is, for what God's doing. God is stirring in our Awana ministry. We got more kids now than we've had for 2 years. God is stirring in our food ministry, people asking for prayer that haven't asked for prayer. I don't know if ever they've asked for prayer. We have the Thanksgiving ministry coming up, and we're going to be the host and the hostesses, and they're going to walk in. And this year we have paperwork to give them about ministries at Pioneer Bible Church, which we've done. We've got gospel tracts to go in the bags. And you know what? We could be praying right now, God, touch those people's hearts. Touch them as they drive in the parking lot. Touch them as they walk and they get in line. Touch them as we guide them through here and we find their turkey and their mashed potatoes and their, you know, their cornbread. Help us, God, to minister to them. See if God might change their life. You know what? Wounded and broken people need hope. They need hope. And we're the hope messengers. That's us. All right, so let's go to the next slide. So this broken and saved woman God used to tell his story. It was Mary, the scripture says in Luke 24. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. So my purpose today, I just felt like God said, we need to talk about Mary. We need to talk about a person who represents the people then and represents us now. And represents the wounded condition, the broken condition we're in before Christ comes in. And you know, sometimes we have this cloud around us that we want to still feel the condemnation of the woundedness and brokenness that we maybe once had. God doesn't want you to do that. God says, I love you. I died for you. I live in you. I want to work through you. I've purposely chosen you, given you gifts. I want you. I need you. And he's called us to be that for him. There's just, let's go to, So this is what I'd like us to think about. I'd like you to make the application to your life today of these things. Simple phrases. I'd like you to see here the brokenness. See the brokenness. You know, Mary Magdalene kind of might be a hero to us in Scripture. I don't think she felt like a hero when she came. But God did something in her and in us. I'd like you to see the healing that took place. You know, Mary could have walked around again kind of with a cloud over her head, so to speak, and just said, you know, I don't think God can use me. You ever think that sometimes? I don't think God can use me. But that's why he healed us. I'd like you to see the value that God places. You know, sometimes we may devalue ourselves, or somebody else may say something to us that is devaluing. We may look in the mirror and say, you know, God, I just don't think I matter to anything or anybody. But what God does is he values you. He thinks you are precious. He loves you. Again, if you were the only one here on this earth that had been a sinner and needed a Savior, he would have died for you. That's what the Scriptures tell us. I'd like you to see the truth of Jesus' redemptive work, that he takes us and makes us new. I'd like you to see the truth that God desires to save, heal, and use you. You know, when you, the thing that motivates me in ministry, I genuinely love you, and I'm glad we're the team, but my motivation is the people out there that don't know Jesus. That is what I am motivated by. That's our purpose. I think we minister to each other beautifully. We could always do more, but the purpose of the church is to be a light, to be salt to the world, to bring the message of the Savior to the lost. And then the last thing, see that you are valuable to God, precious, gifted, filled. And then way over in the red over there, it says His. You are His. You belong to Him, and He loves you. Would you go to the next slide, please? So here we are. This message is about transformation. It's a message about Jesus, about a follower of Jesus, a follower transformed by Jesus, about a person humbled, saved, changed, now living for Jesus. A person sold out to Jesus, no matter what the cost. Mary of Magdala. You remember that phrase? It says, he who is forgiven much does what? Loves much. Yeah. One more slide. This is where we'll end right here today, buddy. God used Mary. What might he do with you? Now, God's already used you greatly. But what might be next? You know, who knows what God would like to do with... Listen to him. Listen to his Spirit. Feel what passions he puts in your soul about the experiences, the people that you're with, the circumstances that you're in. You know, what might he do with you? I just would like to read this. Jesus met Mary in her condition and need. He is there to save and heal you. No sinful condition is too great for him to handle. No past can keep you from being greatly used by God. I just want to tell you that. No past can keep you from being greatly used by God. The next thing, Jesus said to Mary, and he says to us, I love you. Trust me. Believe me. Follow me. And we will bring this good news to the broken, lost, and needy souls in our time and our place. Jesus valued Mary, and he values you. I believe that's the message that I was asked to bring today. Jesus valued Mary, and he values you. Here we are, team. I was talking to somebody recently, and he was real discouraged. He said, you know, sometimes I just think about my sinful past. And somebody made a bumper sticker a long time ago. It says, when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. You know? God values you. You are his. Would you sing with me that verse of that we sang earlier? Just kind of reflects all this stuff. Amazing Grace. It goes, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. God, thank you so deeply for what you do to heal broken and wounded people, to raise us up, make us a child of God, fill us with your Spirit, and then empower us to live for Jesus. Like Al said earlier, You know, we don't just say, well, I'm saved, now I'm waiting for heaven. We're saved, and then we've been called to be messengers of the good news like Mary. So, Father, we thank you. God, take us from here to the next thing. Use us to your honor and glory. The stuff we're struggling with, God, just help us to depend upon you. The stuff we're having trouble trusting you with, God, just help us look back and see why you're trustworthy. Thank you for your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can say to the person next to you, Jesus values you. Yeah, he does.